For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chase Smith. I see a lot more familiar faces here in the late service. I had to kind of reintroduce myself to most of the people in the early service. It's been a long time since me and my family have gotten up that early. I just want to thank you guys for giving me the opportunity today to stand up here in front of you and speak. It's a real surreal moment for me, having grown up in this church, and I'm just grateful for it. Would you bow your heads, please, and join me in a word of prayer? Father, I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to talk today about this idea of passing it on. Those of you who have been partaking in the Moses study, that's kind of the part we're getting to now. This is chapter 6 in Hamilton's book. And something about this idea of passing it on really just tugged at my heartstrings this week. And so when Colleen called and asked me if I'd be willing to preach, it just seemed right. It seemed like the Lord was trying to speak to me in a little whisper there. And maybe part of it's the stage of life that I'm in, too. You know, I've got three little girls that are starting to learn about Christ, and so it's very important to me to pass on my spiritual heritage to them. Sometimes when you get near that 40-year-old mark, too, I think maybe you start to look at life a little differently. So I'm creeping up on that number, and that could be part of it, too. But for whatever reason, this idea of passing it on has really hit home with me this week. If we take a look at the Old Testament reading today, we're transitioning into Deuteronomy now. And just to set the stage for you, this is where Moses is nearing the end of his life. He's taken the Israelites out of Egypt. He's led them through the desert for 40 years. He's taken them all the way to the edge of Canaan, to the edge of the Promised Land. And he's to that point where they're ready to take back the Holy Land. But Moses knows that he's not going to be able to step foot there. He knows that this is the end of the road for him, and he's preparing to climb Mount Nebo and where he's going to spend his final days. So he's issuing his final instructions to the Israelites. And I'll just revisit that verse or those verses with you. This is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Moses said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorpost of your house and your gates." Moses is essentially handing the baton of faith over to Joshua and Caleb and the other Israelites. So when I read this and I was reading the Moses book, I started thinking about parallels to this in the New Testament. And it really drew my mind to the Great Commission that Jesus lays out for us. And to set the stage for you there, this is when Jesus has risen from the dead and he's preparing for the ascension. And he tells his disciples, he says, "Meet me in Galilee." And there he's going to give his final instructions to them. And he does so in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. And I just want to reread those to you one more time. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" I think it's important to take a look at what Jesus doesn't say in that command. He doesn't tell us, go forth and be nice to people and follow the rules. That's not what he's saying. He's telling us, go forth and make disciples of all nations. It's not a suggestion for us. It's a command. He was handing the baton of faith to the 11 disciples, much like Moses did to the Israelites. So this idea of passing it on, it's something that's repeated throughout the Bible. It's a call to action. It's taking what we've been taught and sharing it with the next generation. So when we look at this idea of passing it on, I want to talk through three issues when we kind of drill down here. The first one being, what is it that we should pass on? The second one being, what are some obstacles that keep us from doing that? And the third one being, how do we overcome those obstacles once we've identified them? So let's look at this first question of what do we pass on? When we say pass it on, what's the it? What is it that we pass on? I think most people, myself included, would say that's easy. We pass on the gospel. The gospel, the good news, you know, the message of peace and reconciliation and love. We think of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is a great message, and it is the core of the message that we pass along. But what about the rest of the story? What about the Old Testament? What about, you know, the history of the Old Testament? What about the law and the prophets? We a lot of times like to just pass along the comfortable stuff, don't we? What about the uncomfortable things that we see in the New Testament or that we read in the New Testament? What about the lessons Jesus teaches us about selling our possessions and following him, about loving our enemies? The truth is we like to pick and choose, don't we, what we pass along. But I'll ask you this. How can the next generation understand the significance of the new covenant if we don't teach them about the old covenant too? How can the next generation understand how Jesus fulfills so many prophecies if we don't teach them to study the prophets and the prophecies? How can the next generation understand the importance of the Messiah in the history of the world if we don't teach them about the history of Israel? John Wesley once said, before I can preach love, mercy, and grace, I must preach sin, law, and judgment. So I'll circle back around to that question again. What do we pass on? The best answer I can come up with is this is it. We pass along the Word of God in its entirety. We pass along the good news of hope and love and reconciliation. We also pass along the uncomfortable stuff that we may not be able to explain. We got to trust the Bible to speak for itself. It can stand alone without us rationalizing for it. Wesley once said, in all cases, the church is to be judged by Scripture, not the Scripture by the church. So now that we know what we're supposed to pass along, let's look at some of the things that keep us from doing that, some of the obstacles we encounter. I think there's really two main categories here. There's our misprioritization of our lives, and then there's fear. So let's talk about priorities first. This is a problem that kind of speaks for itself. You know, and I'm a prime example. I tell my kids all the time, our priorities are going to be God, family, friends, and work. It sounds great, but in reality, when I look at the actions that I take, do those things really match up with what I'm preaching? You know, do I live by these priorities? When I'm faced with choosing between serving God and serving man, which one do I choose more often than not? In full disclosure, when Colleen asked me to preach this week, the first thing I did is I went and checked my Outlook calendar on my computer to see what other obligations I may have. The second thing I did is I called my wife and said, what do you have going on this week that we may need to work around? I mean, so I've struggled with this as recently as 3 days ago. What are our priorities? Do our actions line up with what we say they are? The other big category of obstacles that I see is fear. And I think a lot of times fear is the underlying thing that keeps us from passing on the Word of God. And there's different things that we fear. I think a lot of times we fear that we lack the knowledge or the qualifications to share our faith with others. You know, we ask ourselves, well, what if I say the wrong thing? Or what if I lead people astray? I've wrestled with this personally before I started teaching the high school Sunday school class. I was thinking, you know, do I know enough to be teaching Sunday school? The good thing is, you know, there's a couple things I want to point out. God doesn't choose his messengers based on their knowledge or their qualifications or their earthly resumes. Think about Moses. He was not a good speaker, but God picked Moses to go before Pharaoh and tell him he needed to release the Israelites from Egypt. Think about the 12 disciples. You know, Jesus could have easily gone and picked 12 Pharisees that knew the law inside and out, that had spent a whole lifetime studying the Word of God. But he didn't do that, did he? He went and picked fishermen, a tax collector. God doesn't choose us based on our earthly resumes. And we don't have to know all the answers. It's okay if we're sharing our faith with somebody and we don't know an answer to a question they have. It's okay for us to say, I don't know. It's okay to say, go ask Pastor Colleen. At my house, I say, go ask your mother. And that's okay. The important thing is they're asking questions. What are some other things that we fear? Some other obstacles keep us from passing on the gospel. Change is always a big one that we fear, I think. Because when we pass on the gospel to people, it changes our relationship with them, doesn't it? It changes our daily routine sometimes. It changes our level of responsibility. That may have been the one I was afraid of this week. My level of responsibility went up. So we're afraid of change because it takes us out of our comfort zone. But change also helps us grow in our faith. What's something else that we struggle with when passing on the gospel? I think a lot of times we're afraid of being ridiculed, being rejected by those around us. I think a lot of times this boils down to being afraid to be a hypocrite. It keeps us silent because we think, well, I'm not worthy of delivering the gospel. You know, this is something I personally have struggled with as well. This week when asked to preach, I'm thinking to myself, I can't preach. I'm not worthy to stand up in front of the congregation. A lot of these guys play golf with me. They hear the way I talk on the golf course, you know. I grew up with some of these people. They know me or knew me before Angela straightened me out, you know. So, you know, How can I be another example? How could I be a friend in the faith to someone when I used to skip my confirmation classes and hide in the back of the church? So there's a lot of things that I think come to our minds whenever we're asked to share the gospel that lead us to that conclusion that I can't do that because that would make me a hypocrite. But at the end of the day, we got to come to that realization that my sin, my hypocrisy is not a good excuse for being silent. Even though the messenger is flawed, it doesn't make the gospel any less true. If you look through history, the Lord used sinners throughout history to deliver his word. He used Moses, who had murdered an Egyptian. He used King David, who had murdered his commander, to steal his wife. He used Matthew, who was a tax collector for the Romans. He used Paul, who had actually persecuted the early church before he was converted. He used Peter, who had denied Christ three times right before Christ was crucified. Just think, what if Paul had said, I can't lead the early church, I used to persecute the early church. What if Peter had said, I can't share the gospel, I denied Christ right before he was crucified three times? We've got to realize that sometimes our weakness can be used to glorify God. So we, you know, if we look at it and we say, all right, we've got these obstacles that keep us from passing on the gospel. We've got misplaced priorities. We've got fear. But at least we've identified them. Now we got to say, how do we overcome them? And that's the tough part. Well, let's look at our misplaced priorities. To me, this solution is obvious. It's hard, but it's obvious. We got to make sharing the gospel our number one priority. John Wesley said, we have one business on earth, to save souls. We've got to be intentional in our witness. We've got to look for opportunities to bring God into discussions. Just as an example, you know, maybe if somebody's going through a hard time, maybe instead of saying, well, I'll be thinking about you, maybe we say, I'll be praying for you, or can I pray with you? In my own family, we started doing something at Christmas time. You know, it's so easy to get lost in the commercialization of Christmas. And so we read the Bible, the Christmas story, before we open our presents. I don't know how much kids are paying attention, but we're going to do it anyway. You know, it's looking for ways to bring God back into our daily lives and to be able to share that faith with others. A lot of times it means stepping out of our comfort zone. You know, I think about a sermon that Pastor Tim did about 6 or 7 years ago, and it was actually a sermon on tithing. It wasn't even about this, but he made the comment that, you know, if you're not a little bit uncomfortable whenever you give, then you're probably not giving enough. And I started thinking that also relates to what we're talking about today. If we're not a little bit uncomfortable when we're sharing our faith with others, maybe we're not sharing enough. I don't know. So that, you know, that's how I think we can kind of get past the priorities issue. Now, how do we overcome the other one, the fear? Our fear of change, our fear of, you know, of rejection. I think there's two key things. One, we've got to pray constantly. And two, we've got to keep our focus on God. You know, I love what Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, and I'll read it for you here. It says, do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We have nothing to fear. We've just got to realize that. We got to ask ourselves, what do we care about most? What God thinks or what man thinks? Once we decide that what God thinks is more important, it's amazing how easy it is to overcome fear. That fear of change starts to go away. The fear of rejection starts to go away. The fear of the unknown starts to go away. So once we overcome these obstacles and we're ready to pass on the word, then how do we go about doing it? I think that's something I always struggle with, and maybe as a church we do too. I don't know. What do we do then? Do we go get a bullhorn and shout it from the rooftops? You know, do we go on Facebook and start arguing with people that don't believe? How do we go about sharing the gospel with others? You know, everybody's got their own opinion on how to best do that. Personally, I think the key is we've got to build relationships with people. Coercion doesn't lead people to Christ. I can force my kids to come to church on Sunday, but I can't force them to accept Christ as their Savior. You know, arguing with people on Facebook, I've never seen that lead people to Christ. So what do we do? How do we make it happen? We got to build relationships. We got to be in fellowship with other Christians. We've got to rely on other Christians to provide strength for us, and then we've got to do the same for them. But we've also got to reach out to people who don't know the gospel yet. It kind of goes back to that making disciples of all nations idea. And I'm really preaching to myself here more than anybody. This is something that I really struggle with. I'm a private introverted person, as a lot of y'all know. Hard for me, it's hard for a lot of us to build relationships with people because relationships are hard. They're risky. They're time consuming. But they're worth it. And I promise you, if we take the time and the energy to build relationships, God will then provide opportunities for us to pass on the Word of God. You know, I think about, I've been involved in the Young Life ministry here for a while, and they've got a saying there. They say, you've got to earn the right to share the gospel. And I love that. To me, it says we've got to show God's love in action. We've got to practice forgiveness and patience and unconditional love before we get to go credibly share the gospel with people. Then once we've done those things, once we've earned that right, then we get to tell them about Jesus. John Wesley said it a different way. He said, get on fire for God, and men will come and see you burn. I think about my own life and how fortunate I've been to have people who have taken that time to build relationships with me, to earn that right to tell me about the gospel. I think about when I was a little kid and I had parents who loved me unconditionally and went out there and taught me about the gospel. I think about, as I grew up, my church family that I was surrounded with. You know, sometimes it takes a village to raise a child. And I had a church family, you know, people like Ruth Danheim, if y'all remember her. She was my friend in the faith. She was a librarian at school. Wonderful lady who took the time out of her schedule to teach me about the church and how the church works, the ministries of the church, and the good things that the church is doing. I had people like Charlie and Linda Raganall who were my high school Sunday school teachers. You know, their kids were all, they were all gone, and Charlie and Linda still went out on a limb, and they decided to teach our high school Sunday school class. And they were very open about their faith and about their marriage and showed us what a Christian marriage looks like, which is very important for teenage kids to hear that message. I think about people like Hal and Polly McMillan here in this church that opened the doors of their home for me and welcomed me in like one of their own kids whenever I was going through a tough time. You know, then after I wandered around in the West Texas desert for a while, I had people, you know, when I returned back about 10 years later, returned to Mason, I had people like Pat and CJ and John and Deandra and others that reached out to me and drew me back into the church. You know, guys like Rob and Tom and you know, Jim that would invite me to Bible studies and Harold that would ask me to usher. You know, I had these people, and all along I had a wonderful wife who was constantly teaching me about patience and forgiveness and unconditional love and what that looks like. The reason that I bring all these people up, it's not to try to glorify these people. They're sinners just like me and you. The reason I'm bringing them up is I'm just showing you relationships matter. And our ministries matter. You know, Sadie, my little three-year-old ball of fire, Sadie, she came home the other day, and I was getting ready to put her to bed, and she said, Daddy, Jesus is the light of the world. And I had one of those, you know, moments as a parent where you're just, oh, that is awesome. And I said, that's right, sweetie, where'd you hear that? She said, Miss Stephanie told me. Y'all know who Miss Stephanie is. Miss Stephanie is our Stay Steps director. Miss Stephanie has taken the time to build that relationship with my three-year-old so that she can earn the right to share the gospel of Jesus with her. Relationships matter. Our ministries here at First United Methodist Church, they matter. You know, this church and this community provides so many ways for us to pass on the gospel. I would encourage each of you, find a Sunday school class that you can either participate in or lead. Find a Bible study group. We learn so much in small groups. You know, help with K4J or with youth group, or go on a UM Army trip, or help with Steady Steps. All of these ministries need people. They need imperfect people like me and you. I guess I'll just close with a little excerpt from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. This is in Matthew. It's chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. It says, you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Jesus has given us a wonderful gift. It's a gift of the gospel, the good news. He has also commissioned us to go forward and to share it and make disciples of all the nations. Now it's time for us to make sharing that gospel our top priority. It's time for us to overcome our fears of change and rejection. It's time for us to build relationships with people so we can earn that right to share the gospel. It's time for us to make disciples of all the nations. Amen.